Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Are you, my friend, living the golden rule, a life that Jesus has commanded you to live? Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, we read, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." In other words, this sums up the whole of the Word of God. Matthew 7:12. I want you to memorize these words from Jesus. Again, he says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." God's calling us to put ourselves in the shoes of others, as the saying goes. And regrettably, some have not, and increasingly more, with godless parents, many of them claiming to be Christians and aren't even teaching their children or child the Word of God. That is not a Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian who is not training their children up in the right ways in the Word of God. Notice in Matthew 5:44, the Bible tells us that we are even to love our enemies. Matthew 5:44. Another verse I want to highly recommend that you memorize. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, even your enemies, love them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." I don't know about you, but when I read that, that's one of the hard sayings of Jesus. That tells me that I have dying to do so that Christ lives in me. He was moved with compassion a few chapters later at the end of Matthew 9 when he saw the lost. He didn't view them as his enemy. While they were yet sinners, while you and I were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. Romans 5:6-8. So Jesus said we're to even love our enemies. We're to bless them that curse us. Do you think that's going to be a witness to people that they afflicted you, they hated you, they told you and made it clear they were your enemy, they cursed you, they hated you, and they used you and persecuted you, and you turned around and loved them? Now, who else are they going to get that reaction from other than a born-again believer who truly knows the God who is love? Let me help you with the answer to that. No one is going to do what the believer is going to do, showing the love of God, to love our enemies, to bless them when they curse us, to do them good, those that hate us, and to pray for them which despitefully use and persecute us. Again, this is Matthew 5:24. I want to highly encourage you, if you, and exhort you, if you name the name of Christ, to write this scripture always from the King James Bible with the reference on an index card and begin to internalize it. Meditate upon it and obey the Lord. So what we're talking about in this message is thinking, knowing, applying, and doing the golden rule of Jesus? Do you claim to be saved by Jesus? If so, you are obeying Jesus, beginning with worshiping Him, seeking Him, and obeying Him by denying yourself, taking up the cross daily and following Him. Otherwise, you're really not following Him. And right here, this message will definitely test and bring to the light the actual value, if you will, or substance of our relationship or lack thereof with the Lord. And somebody might say, well, that's sad. No, I view that as a victory when God shows us where we are in error, where we are in sin, where we need to repent and amend our ways as He spoke to His people under the old covenant. So golden rule living is the only way to live in glorification of our Maker. Again, while you and I were yet separated and sinners, God sent His only begotten Son while we were His enemies. Romans chapter 5. And God wants us to spread this word of what we call the golden rule, to love your enemy. Right? Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Always be thinking about God and others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, the scripture tells us, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, glory brought to ourselves, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better. Notice the word better than themselves. We're to lift up others above ourselves. So we're to die to self. We already innately, automatically love self. Self-love is inherent, if you will. There's another word I'm trying to think of, but we don't have to try to love ourselves. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. So we're to let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, only by pride that cometh contention or strife. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. That's why the crucified life is essential to walking with Jesus, so that we're raised up by Him. He only raises up those who choose to die and be buried. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness, low, not high-minded, but lowliness of mind, as in contrast to high-mindedness, which the Bible speaks of specifically. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Think about that. We're to be lifting up others and taking interest in and helping others more than we're helping ourselves. We're to esteem others above ourselves. We are to esteem other better than themselves. That's what we're to do. Look not every man on his own things. We need to take a vacation from our own doings and the things that further pamper and waste God's resources on our own lives. We should get up in the morning praying, God, help others, Lord, with your love working in and through me. Let me be crucified with Christ, Lord. You must increase, but I must decrease, Lord. Please raise me up. First of all, anoint me with your Holy Ghost to the death and burial of self so that you can raise me up into this love that I don't have in me, because I'm not love, you're love. And I need you to fill me with your love, oh God. In Jesus' name, I believe you're going to do it, and look forward to this adventure and this powerful fruit-bearing exploit of a day. In Jesus' name. That would be a great way to wake up every day. Praying prayers, praying the Word into our lives every day. Ask and you shall receive. And be sure of this, God wants His Word working in your life more than you do. So 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, we call it. And scriptures like we're reading today in 1 Corinthians 13, I regularly and daily meditate upon them, and lately I've been reading 1 Corinthians 13 every single morning as part of my time with the Lord and studying His Word. You got to get into the Word for the Word that gets into you, and you're humbling yourself and have a heart of flesh and heart full of stony places. Then what's going to happen is the Word of God is going to circumcise your heart to trim away and circumcise and cut away everything that does not belong. You're going to be washed by the water of the Word. You're going to be made clean by the Word, the action of the Word, not just taking taking it in, but meditating upon it and obeying the Lord. Verse 3, Philippians 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that speaks of humility, right? Lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better, see the key words in this verse, than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Many of you have found out in a greater fashion than myself, but I certainly have tasted and seen the goodness of God concerning what Jesus said. It's actually in red letters, quoted by, I believe it's the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give to receive. Notice the three power words, blessed, give, and receive. It's more blessed to do what? Give. When you're giving of yourselves, you've never felt such elation. Somebody said, you're never more like Jesus than when you're giving of yourself. That's probably a true quote right there. He gave his whole life and blood to redeem us back to himself and the Father. So we should plan, we should begin to deliberately set forth that we are going to do what? We're not going to look on our own things today. We'll take care of business, obviously, but we're going to look on the things of others. First of all, when we get up every morning, and boy, I'd love to be on your list, your prayer list, beloved, if I can be a little selfish, for the fruitfulness of this ministry and the supply abundantly to help more and more people and to get the gospel into the hearts of God's people and the lost. So listen, many of you listening right now are actually on my list. There's not a day that goes by that you're not lifted up by name to the Father in the name of Jesus. And that's one of the ways I want to plant in your mind. The Bible says so much about prayer. We have a whole category, over 200 biblical topics. If you go to the desktop version of safeguardyoursoul.com, and on the right side near the top, you're going to find the category drop-down menu. I want you to look at the love and the prayer categories. They're alphabetically listed. Love, just one word. Also prayer, just one word. So it's safeguardyoursoul.com/love or /prayer. And that will change your life. It will ignite a fire with the Holy Scriptures concerning your life of prayer. Not just having a prayer life or a prayer time each day, and those are very important, but having a life of prayer where you're learning to pray without ceasing. Amen. So verse 5, let this mind that it just articulated be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to talk about how Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he is God, but made himself of no reputation. Jesus Christ, the creator of all that is, and the sustainer. He made himself, he came to the earth, born of a virgin, made flesh to dwell among us, ultimately to die for us. But while he was on earth and all the way through the crucifixion, he made himself of no reputation. And this isn't just you or me, little old you or little old me. This is heaven's king. This is the creator of the universe. This is the prophesied divine Messiah, God with us. Emmanuel, manifested in the flesh via the Father and a virgin. And he's on earth walking around on the planet that he made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 1:10. Again, this isn't just little old you or I or some rich man or famous man on earth. No, that's not even a speck of dust, Psalm 103. That doesn't even qualify to be a speck of dust. We're talking about the King of all kings, the Almighty, Revelation 1:8. Himself walking in the flesh, all God and all man on the earth. And what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. He didn't tout himself as something better than everybody else. No, we just read what he did, which the Bible calls here by the Holy Spirit's inspiration. That's the mind of Christ. Now, if he came down and humbled himself, being the highest of the high, the most high, as the Bible calls him, why shouldn't we see that we should do this? We are called to do this. We're mandated to do this. And it's a whole lot easier, it seems like, for you and I, who are nothing. In our best state, we're altogether vanity. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. Man in his best state, is what? Altogether vanity. So Jesus, the King of all kings, made himself of no reputation on the earth. He had no pride. He didn't look down on anyone. In fact, he stooped down to serve the lowest, the fallen, the sinner, the harlots, the adulterous woman, the thief on the cross. And he served fallen mankind by being crucified for our sins to bring us back to the Father, to close the gap between a holy God and sinful men. What a Savior who came and made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He washed, he girded himself with a towel that represents he came and deliberately served us, and he washed the feet of his own disciples. He took upon him the form of a servant. God has called us to be a servant. People often say, are you a pastor? No, I'm a servant. That's all I am. You can call me a few things beyond that if you want, but I'm nothing but a servant, and don't even qualify, don't merit anything but sin, separation from God, from sin, and eternal damnation. There is no good thing that dwells in me, Paul said. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this corpse? God is love, man. It's not by works of righteousness, right, which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, Titus 3:5-7. So Jesus made himself of no reputation. He came to serve. Do we get up every day and do we walk in the mind of Christ? And that mind would be serving the Father, the Son, and people, others. We're to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. There's the golden rule again stated. We already love ourselves. That's a given. There's only two commands there. Love God and love others. Why isn't there a third commandment? So many deceivers teach that you got to learn to love yourself. That's satanic psychobabble, and anybody teaching that is absolutely a corrupted sinner who needs to get saved. They are not. Jesus never said, love yourself. Jesus says, love the Lord. This is Matthew 22:37-40. Go read it again and memorize it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you already love yourself. Take that love and give it away. It'll be the most blessed thing you ever do. Memorize Acts 20:35 and live it. Meditate upon it daily. Again, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. What's more blessed to give than to receive? There's a certain guy that's got these little shorts videos that pop up sometimes, and he goes to the streets. It's very interesting. And what do we call it? The opportunity for us to realize who we would be in this little scenario where he goes up to people. I think it's in Europe. And he's dressed. Now, the guy's probably wealthy in this world. I don't know. I don't know much about him. There's nothing immoral about his videos. It's the little shorts videos, a 60-second or less. Anyway, he goes up to people dressed like he's homeless and said, can I use your phone, please? And there'll be 5 or 10 of them turn him down and like look down on him. It's unbelievable. If you're a Christian, that should concern you. Would that be you? I hope not. I hope it wouldn't be me either. We've got to be careful, obviously, but and the ladies are listening, so we want them to be protected, but we're just going to have to pray for God's wisdom. I'm just going to tell you about what he does in this whole message. We got to pray, and God will give us his wisdom in each situation, but he'll finally get somebody that says, yeah, sure. It'll usually be a lady. She'll say, here, and she'll let him use his phone. He doesn't even really use it. He's just pretending to be calling someone, and then he thanks them, and he seems like a real gracious guy. I really like him, by the way. And then it's all planned. He'll have his teammate drive up this real expensive car, and the trunk will open, and they'll deliver flowers to the lady who allowed this pretended actor guy, that's the main guy in the videos, she allowed him to use her phone, and so she gets rewarded. They're not spreading the love of God with the gospel, but the principle is there. God is going to reward every act of love that is bestowed upon hurting mankind, and mankind's core dilemma is sin, and sin is what gives place to Satan and the enemy of all souls. God's going to reward every act of kindness that's done with the heart of God's love. That's why we have to have the crucified life, so that we're full of not us and our fake or feigned love and the shallowness of it, self-centeredness of it, but the love of Christ. We should be asking God every day to fill us with His love. In fact, if you're on my prayer list, you have that prayed over you every day, that God would fill us with His love. That's what Jesus came to do. God so loved the world, He so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 8, Philippians 2, and being found in fashion as a man, He was in the flesh. He humbled Himself. What did He do? He humbled Himself. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's the cross. You go down into the death of Christ. You're crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, Romans 6, etc. And now He's filling you up, and you're full of the love and the grace of God. And it's a powerful force in the earth, in your world, that God's going to use His life in you, His grace and love working in you, raising you up out of that death and buried posture of heart. He humbled Himself. Jesus said He became obedient unto death, all the way to death. And that's what we must do. We must be obedient unto the death of self so that Christ can raise us up. And that's when the love of God is going to fill our hearts. That's when we're going to be, when you and I are going to live out the life of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. What a blessing. When the religionist, the priest, and the Levite had walked right by the man hurting, that was down and out, robbed and left for dead, and probably very hungry, it was the Good Samaritan who first and foremost represents Christ coming for fallen humanity, fallen man. And then it also represents Christ's disciples who are here in the earth to lift up the downtrodden. I'm reminded, as I've said before in a couple of podcasts in the past, of a afternoon when my friend Chad and I in Dallas were, we had eaten at a restaurant. We walked out and there was a guy that had apparently drank too much at the Dallas Stars, I think it's called, the hockey team there in Dallas. And he was just laying on the ground on the corner. The cops were getting ready to take him and put him in the paddy wagon, I guess, and put him in jail till he sobered out or whatever. And Chad and I asked the cops if we could be the helpers of this guy and be blessed to help him so they didn't have to be bothered with him. And we're servants of the Lord, and we're going to help this man get sober and whatever. So we're giving him cold water for several hours. I mean, I guess he drank so many beers or whatever, and we're trying to dilute that in his bloodstream. I guess that works, I'm not sure, but we didn't even mention the Lord. If we did, He wouldn't even hurt us for a couple of hours, probably because of his state currently at that point. But at some point he looked up at us and he said, wow, you guys must be Christians. Amen. Remember that song, by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. I can't remember the tune all the way. Some of you know that song. It's a great song. Jesus said that we are to love one another, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now that first pertains to the body of Christ, but also others. And Chad and I were showing love to this guy, and it was a joy to do. And he just looked up and said, y'all must be crazy. In other words, what he was saying is, nobody else would help me except God's people. We ministered to him after that. He was getting sober to where he could be coherent and receive it. And anyway, it was a great exchange. No telling the good things that happened in that guy's life after that. I don't know. We just do the love of God. We walk with God. We sow the seed. We not only give them the word spoken in print, but we also know that we must give them tangible, blessed help with love in our hearts that God puts in our hearts. He's love, not us. The Bible says God is love, right? 1 John 4:8 and 16. We're not love, but we are one with Him in Christ. And as we abide in Him, the fruit of love is produced in our lives with the fruit of the Spirit. It begins with love, joy, peace, etc. So Jesus went to the cross. He humbled Himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's why He was raised up. God doesn't raise up anybody that's not dead and buried. I want you to hear that. And if you want to be full of the love of God, you got to be crucified with Christ daily. Wherefore God, here's the resurrection, we see the cross throughout Scripture. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we're talking about the golden rule life, the life of the love of God reigning and flowing in and through our lives. And the cross came into focus there because anything that God commands us to do must be the working of the Holy Spirit, raising us up out of that dead and buried posture. And that's when things start to happen right there. That's when you're going to see God move so big in your life and through your life. You're going to be shaking your head. Everybody I know that is learning and gaining traction in this cross life by seeking the Lord in His Word and looking at what the Lord Jesus Himself taught about denying yourself, taking up your cross daily and following Him. And that's the only way you can follow Him. Matthew 16, 24 and 25, Luke 9:23-24, and the apostles taught and expounded on this cross truth. They, those that are applying this cross, praying it into their lives, obeying God by being crucified with Christ, are seeing the most incredible divine blessings in their life and through their life for the glory of God. So thinking, applying, and doing the golden rule of Christ, who is the ultimate example, includes not doing to others what you wouldn't want done to you. Do you want to be insulted? Of course not. Well, why would you insult somebody else? Why not just take the hurt if they insult you? Why not just fall on the sword? Then, if we don't want something done to us, we shouldn't do it to them. Do we not want something thought about us? Do we want people having a bad attitude toward us or imagining evil on us? Zechariah, I believe it is, chapter 7, verse 10. We're not to imagine evil against our brother. You know that's a command. Let's read that memory verse, Zechariah 7:10. At the end of that verse, let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. If you're being tempted to conclude in your mind, and you know how our thoughts are, it's the flesh and maybe even Satan pushing us and influencing us, and to view some lady or some guy as such and such, scratch it. If there's not absolute proof of two or three witnesses, not hearsayers, you get the point. Don't imagine. Imagine evil. We got to cast down those imaginations. Besides, what if they really did do with your own evil heart and Satan? Maybe it's the fact that they did something. Does that mean they can't be forgiven, restored? No, if we can be saved and restored, God can serve and restore anyone. So if you don't want something thought about you, perhaps you should stop thinking that about other people, especially with no evidence. Proverbs 18:13 tells us that if you draw a conclusion about a matter you don't even know the whole picture of, how many decades is it going to take for us to learn this lesson where we draw a conclusion on one side of the story? We know there's two sides to every story, at least. Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, in other words, before you've heard the whole gamut of truth on a matter, it is folly, that means foolishness, and shame unto him. And we're going to reap what we sow. If we do these things to others, God sees it, and we're going to be turned over to it and reap what we sow, even in our thoughts and how we conclude things. We got to vet these things, saints. So far we're talking about the golden rule and do it unto others as we would that they would do unto us. We don't want something done to us. Why would we do it to somebody else? If we don't want something thought about us, why would we think of that about others? Then why think such about another person if we don't want these things thought about us? We don't want to be viewed that way, especially when it's not even true. Don't want something said about us? We don't want to be slandered? Then why would we sow discord among the brethren ourselves? It's been said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There's a lot of truth in that. When people know you care, they're listening. When you have that love that could only come from God exuding in your life because you're fellowshipping daily with He who is love. That is not going to go unnoticed. God is going to use that greatly. And some have prayed. I've heard people say they just pray, Lord, reduce me to love. Now, somebody might be thinking, well, you're talking a little bit flowery to me. Well, hang around. You must be new if you think that. Sometimes open rebuke is better than secret love. Amen. When you're loving people, you're going to wind up correcting, bringing God's correction based on His word. That's why He gave us His word. Thank God. We're not correcting Him based on us. We're using the scriptures to correct Him in love. That's 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. That's how the man of God is made perfect or mature. So the golden rule is simple. Think about it. Do you want something believed or done or said to or about you by somebody else? If not, then let's drop it. Don't think or do or say those things about others. Stop and pray for them. Speak a word in due season, as the scripture says, into their hearts in the book of Proverbs. So Jesus said, as we come in for a landing, this is a simple message, but it could not be more important. The Bible says, if you don't have love, he that loveth not knoweth not God. 1 John 4:8, I believe. We'll read that in a minute. So to sum up Matthew 5:44, which we read earlier, Jesus commands us to love our enemies, bless those that curse us, do good to them that hate us, and pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 as we come in for a landing here. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 7. I read this whole chapter this morning. What a blessing. Wow. The Apostle John spoke so much about love and truth. It's the gospel, if you will, put in certain or no uncertain terms. He is straight shooting, and there's some things he nails down like no other writer. Beloved, and love is one of them. Beloved, let us love one another. Do you know that the Bible says 13 times, love one another? Wow. Love one another. We have a store page with books on it, but we also have a banner that's linked to our clothing. We got some clothing items in case anybody wants to wear nice, actually, t-shirts and hoodies with scripture on them. And I'd been thinking about this verse for years and how love one another appears 13 times in the New Testament. Wow. And I had that put on a shirt, so you can get that on the shirt if you want. And we don't set the prices, by the way. The store platform does. Otherwise, it'd be a lot less. By the way, in case anybody's wondering, we make no money on the books. We spend way more money than we make on the books because they go out every week. Scripture-rich books, there's 20 of them, and two of them are in Spanish. Two that are in Spanish and English, the same two titles. They go out every week. From Sister Karen and Sister Dana sending me addresses of people that committed crimes, people that are incarcerated. We love those people. We want them touched with the love of God. So thank you for your prayers and support. That's part of what it goes to. Everything we do is to get the Word of God, which never returns back to God void, into the hearts of as many people as possible. At this point, like between 8 and 10,000 people a day come to the Safeguard Your Soul website to be fed the Word of God, because that's all you're going to find on that site in many different formats, video, audio, and text. Hallelujah. So 1 John 4, 7, and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God. How do you know somebody that's born again, born of God? They walk in God's love and knoweth God. Let's read it again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God. That's the proof. He just said that in chapter 3. And knoweth God. That's how you know somebody's saved. They walk in the love of God. And knoweth God. That's how you know somebody knows God. That's why Jesus came, that we might know Him, John and the Father, John 17:3. So who is born of God? Who knoweth God? Those that walk in the love of God. Are you walking in the love of God? That's the proof that you truly are known of God, that you're born again and you know God currently. And then verse 8, he that loveth not, listen to this, knoweth not God. Boy, he just said it right out, didn't he? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So if you're not walking in God's love, you don't know Him. It doesn't matter what else you think or I think. All right, let's try to finish here in 1 Peter, interestingly, also chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Same topic. 1 John 4, 7, and 8. 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8. I hope you're learning to navigate the Word of God, friend, so that you can fill people full of it. When you sit down for coffee or lunch, you've already prayed for the person you're meeting with, and let the Scriptures flow out of your life and your mouth, not only in word, but in deed. 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8. But the end, especially now that the end of all things is at hand, what are we to do? Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Live a life of prayer. Amen. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. And above all things. I want to hear what's above all things. Don't you? Have fervent, not just charity, but on fire charity, fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. See, the true disciple is full of the love of God. When somebody calls you and says, or you find out that somebody that's a Christian committed this great sin, all right, it was a sin. It's horrible. Let's agree on that, if that's what it was. But you know, the Bible says, and aren't you glad, selfishly for a moment, that charity shall cover the multitude of sins? You're interested in their restoration and being forgiven if they haven't already and being made whole again. The woman taken in adultery, the way Jesus dealt with her is a master class on the subject. In John chapter 8, verse 7, when they threw her at his feet and condemned her, Jesus told those religious hypocrites, let him first cast a stone. He that is without sin among you, let him, the sinless ones. If you don't need God's grace anymore because you're living in sinless perfectionism without him, go ahead and cast the first stone. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. See, they weren't letting love because they didn't know God. The love of God wasn't in them. They were not born of God. They rejected Christ for their religion. And so they weren't able, by the divine enablement of the love of God and the grace of God, to let love overlook the multitude of sins. What did Jesus tell her? Verse 10 and 11, woman, now this is a woman that just committed a heinous sin. But listen, God is holy, holy, holy. So if it's a sin on the list of the soul-damning sins, for example, the 17 specifically listed in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it's on the same level. And there's some in there that are going to surprise the hypocrites. And you're going to have to look a few of them up, like emulations. What does that mean? Striving to excel at the expense of another. Instead of lifting up others above yourself, you're using others to lift yourself up. And you're exploiting them. So you don't know God. You're going to hell. Because every one of them, he says, that's committing those sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Count them, 17 soul-damning sins. So Jesus, after this woman was thrown at his feet, caught in the act of adultery. How dare her! If you've looked on a woman, or it's something you shouldn't have looked at, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Well, I didn't get caught. You got caught. God saw it. He sees everything. We need to wake up, don't we? Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. In other words, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Obviously, she was repentant. Jesus knows the hearts of all men. So neither do I condemn thee. What do you do when you find out somebody sins? What do? Do you condemn them? Or like Jesus, you don't condemn them? You're condemned in your own sins without Christ, right? Let's finish. Notice, go and sin no more. Maybe there's more than one way you can take this. But some people teach this. I got to just get this in there. They teach this exact as if Jesus was saying, now you're forgiven, don't you dare sin again. That would exclude themselves. We know that. We all know that. Go and sin no more. In other words, I've set you free. Now, I believe if you look at the whole of the Word of God, Jesus is saying, I've made you free. You don't have to sin anymore. This is a picture of salvation. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. Jesus brought the grace, John 1:17. The law came by Moses, which concludes all of us under sin, Romans 3, John 1:17. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And this is Jesus who brought grace and truth. He says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. In another place, he said, go and sin no more. A worse thing doesn't come upon you. That's a loving God trying to protect us, just like the Father and the Lord Jesus tried to protect Adam and Eve by telling them not to eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That was for their protection. The thou shalt nots of the Ten Commandments are more like a, or include the divine, loving, benevolent God's posture of, please don't hurt yourself. He gave us free will, and we have found out, every one of us, by trial and error, as some call it, the school of hard knocks, it just does not pay to sin. Adam and Eve found that out. We've all found that out. This woman found it out. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Why? Because he loved her. He wanted her protected. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the protection and the provision and the blessings of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. If you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, just like Jesus taught, and abiding in him, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to be protected. You're going to be blessed. So God's not trying to get rid of people. Oh, how dare you, like an immature father standing there with his arms folded, mad at his child because he did wrong. There's a balance here. God is love. He doesn't want to throw anybody away. Well, they did this and this. Okay, how does that make 2 Peter 3:9 not apply to that person that you're condemning, or you? Notice he said he's not willing that any should perish. Maybe we should internalize that ourselves. God doesn't want me. Have you ever sinned before after being saved? Yeah, you have. Let me help you answer that. Most of you threw both hands up right away because you're honest before God. But if not, if there's somebody listening that couldn't answer that real quick, then you're not a very honest person. God is not willing that any should perish. And that any means any. That applies to you and me. That implies to others that we're blessed to minister to. We're closing now. Ephesians 4:32, a memory verse. Here it is. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another. Be what? Be kind one to another. Tender, not hard-hearted, but tender-hearted. The Bible speaks of both. Tender-hearted. Lord, give us a heart of flesh. I pray that over the body of Christ every morning, as many of you do. Forgiving one another. Here it is. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice this. God forgave me and you on the basis of Christ, not us. We didn't deserve it. But on the basis of the perfect sacrifice of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which alone satisfied the claims of the Father's justice to redeem you and I, sinners. That's the basis which God forgave you. And how dare you not forgive somebody else? That's a memory verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. So summed up, the golden rule, as one person put it, is the precept of the gospel in Matthew 7:12, which is our main verse for this message, where Jesus said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. Taken from the teachings of Jesus, the golden rule is summed up as treating others how you want to be treated, or doing unto others as you would have them to do unto you. In Jesus' name, may God bless each of us to be broken and contrite in heart, humbled before him in the crucified life. And may God pour his love into us through that intimate, obedient, worship-filled, faith-filled communion that we walk in every day with the Lord, waking up to seek his face. And through us thereafter, that's how the gospel works in our individual lives. It works in us and then through us. We can't lead anyone else where we're not willing to go ourselves. Amen. Jesus is coming.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.